Blog Talk Radio.
Schedule a class for last night, and you know,
show started or the broadcast started, and then I was like, is this the right night? And, of course, it wasn't. So I pray everybody is doing well. Let me send out a text to some people to remind them of tonight's class. Just a second. How are you doing, Sister Mary and Sister Denise?
I'm fine. Thank you for asking. How are you?
I'm fine. Thank you.
I'm doing fine.
Okay, you sound tired.
No, I'm not tired.
Okay. I just said you sounded tired, and, you know. Okay, just a second. Let me remind some people. And I know Sister Lorraine is not going to be here tonight, so.
How is her nephew doing?
I think they're getting ready to operate. I think they're going to have to amputate one of his legs.
Really?
Yeah. He's at one time his heart wasn't putting out enough blood.
Right.
And it didn't, you know, it took a toll on him. Okay, one more. All right, we're going to go ahead and start. As people come in, they'll just have to catch up. Okay, so we're going to go ahead and do our statement of faith. And we'll go ahead and move into this lesson. All right, let me have the ladies cover their head. Any men listening, uncover your head. I believe that all scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim and is profitable for doctrine and for reproof and for correction, for instruction in righteousness, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. I believe that all holy men must be inspired and directed by the Spirit of Yah, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 through 21. I believe there is one Elohim according to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. I believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of Yah according to Luke chapter 1 verse 35. I believe I'm a new covenant child of Yah according to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. I believe I'm of the royal priesthood according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I believe I am chosen and directed by Yah according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. I believe I'm a child of Yah and of the seed of Abraham according to Galatians chapter 3 verse 26 through 29. I can do all things through Mashiach, which strengthens me, according to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. It is my whole duty to fear Yah and keep His commandments, according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Let us give the Most High Elohim a hand clap of praise on today. Hallelujah, Father. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to your name, O Yah Elohim. Glory to you, O Father, for we are holy and we lift you up and we magnify your name because we truly love you, Father, and we bow down our knees to you on today and we pay homage unto you, for you are worthy. You are worthy. You are worthy. Hallelujah. Hallelujah and hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Yah. Thank you. Hallelujah. Thank you. Glory to your name, O Yah Elohim. Glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah. All right. Holy hands raised to the Most High Elohim. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, now and forever. Amen and amen.
Amen.
All right, our scripture for tonight is 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. May the Most High bless you to the reading, the hearing, the understanding, more so the doing of his word. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name, amen and amen. All right, we are going going to go ahead and pick this up. We're on question number 5 in this lesson. And let me bring that up. So many documents open. I'm scared if I close one, I'm going to forget that I was working on it. Okay. So, Achan. What did Achan commit? What sin did he commit? I was going to start this in Joshua chapter 7. But I want to go to Joshua chapter 6. The book of Joshua chapter 6. And when you have it, if you say amen.
Amen.
All right, thank you. Joshua chapter 6, and we're not going to start at the beginning. We're not going to start with the Battle of Jericho. Let's see. I think it's in Joshua chapter 6. Okay, yeah. The verses that I want are in chapter 6. So let's drop down to verse 18. Joshua chapter 6, verse 18 and 19. Y'all may need to go a little bit higher. All right, let's just start at verse 16. Joshua chapter 6, verse 16. And it came to pass at the seventh time, now they're walking around Jericho, when the priest blew the trumpet, Joshua said unto the people, shout, and Yah has given you the city. And the city shall be accursed, even it and all that are therein. To Yah, only Rahab the harlot shall live, and all that are with her in her house, because she hid the messengers that were sent. And you, in any wise, keep yourselves from the accursed thing. Now, the Most High has cursed this city. He said, the city shall be cursed. Lest you make yourselves accursed when you take up the accursed thing, and make the camp of Israel accursed and trouble it. So this is, you know, the city of Jericho. The Most High has cursed the city, but he's going to tell them what they can take. But all the silver, verse 19, but all the silver and gold and vessels of brass and iron are consecrated unto Yah. They shall come into the treasury of Yah. Okay. So we have Israel walking around Jericho. They walk around it like 7 days, and on the seventh day, they walk around it 7 times, and on the seventh time, on the seventh day, they blow the trumpet, and then the people are commanded this whole time not to say a word. Don't let their voice be heard. And then on this last time, they shout when the trumpets are blowing and the walls of Jericho come down. But before they go in, they're told not to take of the accursed thing. So anything in the city but what the Most High told them to take would be what? It'd be cursed. This is but the silver and the gold and the vessels of brass and iron, they are to be consecrated unto Yah. They shall come into the treasury of Yah. Now let's go to Joshua chapter 7. We'll start in verse 1. Joshua chapter 7, starting in verse 1. But the children of Israel committed a trespass in the accursed thing. For Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zebedee, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took of the accursed thing, and the anger of Yah was kindled against the children of Israel. And Joshua sent men. So we see that Achan took of the accursed thing, but he also, we're going to read that he stole something as well. And Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is beside Beth Haven on the east side of Bethel, and spake unto them, saying,
now in the conference.
And let me put that on, kind of put that on mute just a second. Already on mute. Okay. So we're in verse 2. And Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is beside Bethaven on the east side of Bethel, and spake unto them, saying, go up and view the country. And the men went up and viewed Ai. And they returned to Joshua and said unto him, let not all the people go up, but let about 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and smite Ai, and make not all the people to labor there, for they are but a few. So now Jericho was a big city, and they had just come across the Jordan, and it took 7 days, and then the Most High caused that city to fall. You know what? Before we go into this, there's something else that I saw in chapter 6 that I want to bring up. I did not see this before, but what is it? The re-reward? Anybody ever heard that statement?
Yeah, I heard it before.
Okay, let's go to Joshua chapter 6, and let's get verse 9. Because, I had a misunderstanding of what this was. Or maybe I didn't have a misunderstanding, I just never knew what it was, until it actually read it here, and I was like, okay, we're in Joshua chapter 6, and we're going to be reading verses 8 and 9. And it came to pass, when Joshua had spoken, and it came to pass when Joshua had spoken unto the people that the seventh of the ram's horns passed on before Yah and blew with the trumpets, and the ark of the covenant of Yah followed them. And the armed men went before the priests that blew with the trumpets, and the re-reward came after the ark. So this is important. So when we read verse 8, you got the seven priests bearing the seven trumpets of the ram's horn. And they passed before Yah and then blew with the trumpets and the ark of the covenant. So you got the priest and then the ark of the covenant, okay? And you got the men of war in front of them. Now behind them, it says, and the armed men went before the priest and blew with the trumpets. And the re-reward came after the ark. So we got the armed men, we got the priests with the trumpets, and then you got the re-reward. Underline re-reward. That means the re-reward means the backward, the rear guard, okay? So who's guarding the rear of the priests and the men of war? It's like when you are going out and you got the men of war, you got the priests, and then you got the Most High behind them. So the re-reward is the Most High himself, his presence, okay? That's what that re-reward means. And the Most High is, he's bringing up the rear guard after the ark. So when the nations see this coming, they see the men of war, they see the priests, they see the ark of the covenant. And then behind that, they will see the pillar of fire or the pillar of cloud. Everybody understand that?
Yeah.
The re-reward is the presence of the Most High himself, okay? And so Yah is saying that he's behind them, and he's the one, backing them up?
Mm-hmm.
And he's the one that's going to, he's going to fight the battle. He's the one that's going to make the city crumble. But when he says he shall be your re-reward, that means he's going to be your protection. Okay? That's what that means. It is a old spelling of rear guard. So this is the way, rather than saying rear guard, like you're the guard that's behind you, it used to be spelled re-reward, and then they actually re-spelt it as rear guard. Okay. So I wanted to bring that out because I think it's in Isaiah 58 and 13, where it says the Most High will be your reward.
Right.
In concern with the Sabbath, meaning that he's going to be the one backing you. He's going to be your rear guard. Okay, and he's going to make sure that what he has promised you is going to happen. Okay, so I found that the other, I don't know what day, Sunday or whenever, when I found it, I was like, oh, okay. Then I want to make sure that I bring that out so that when you're reading it, you have understanding with it. Okay, let's go back to Joshua chapter 7. And we're looking at the sin, what sin did Achan commit? Okay. And we are in verse 5. Verse 1 through 3, you know, we're told that Achan took up the accursed thing. Okay. And that now he's taking up the accursed thing. Let's just go ahead and just read it again. Starting in verse 1, Joshua chapter 7 and verse 1. But the children of Israel committed a trespass in the accursed thing. Most I told them that the whole city of Jericho was accursed, and everything in that city was supposed to die. Men, women, children, everything. Only ones who were supposed to be spared out of that city were Rahab and her family, because she hid the spies. But everybody else in that city is supposed to die. And the only thing that they can actually take out of that city is the gold and the silver and the bronze, those metal objects that the Most High said that they could take, okay? Anything else is a curse, okay? So if it's a piece of clothing, if it's a, you know, you might think it was an idol or something, but he didn't take an idol. So we're going to look at this. So, but the children of Israel committed a trespass in the accursed thing. For Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zebedee, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took of the accursed thing. And the anger of Yah was kindled against the children of Israel. And Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai. So they are just taking Jericho. Now they're spying out the city of Ai. And Joshua sends some men there to spy out the city. You know, what kind of defenses do they have? How many people are there there? That kind of stuff. Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is beside Bethaven, on the east side of Bethel, and spake unto them, saying, go up and view the country. And the men went up and viewed Ai. And they returned to Joshua and said unto him, let not all the people go up, but let about 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and smite Ai. And make not all the people to labor there, for they are but a few. So there went up there of the people about 3,000 men, and they fled before the men of Ai. Now this is a small city, but the men, that Israel ends up, what, fleeing. Okay, and the men of Ai smote of them about 36 men, for they chased them from before the gate even unto Shebarim, smote them in the going down. Wherefore the hearts of the people melted and became as water. And Joshua rent his clothes and fell to the earth upon his face before the ark of Yah until the evening time. He and the elders of Israel and put dust upon their heads. And Joshua said, alas, O Yah Elohim, wherefore hast thou at all brought this people over Jordan to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites, to destroy us? Would to Elohim we had been content and dwelt on the other side of Jordan. O Yah, what shall I say when Israel turns their back before their enemies? For the Canaanites and all the inhabitants of the land shall hear of it and shall environ, surround us and cut off our name from the earth. And what wilt thou do unto thy great name? So first Joshua's making some statements. He's not asking a question. Then in verse 9, he asked the question, and what wilt thou do unto thy great name? And Yah said unto Joshua, get thee up, get up. Why liest thou thus upon thy face? Why are you down on the ground on your face? Israel has sinned, and they have also transgressed my covenant, which I commanded them. For they have even taken of the accursed, and have also what?
Stolen.
And disassembled also. And they have put it among their own stuff. So Yah knows what's going on. He knows what Achan has done, but he's not going to tell Joshua who it is. He just simply tells them Israel has broken his covenant. They have taken of the accursed thing. He doesn't say what the thing is. And then it says they have also stolen. Okay, so we're going to look at each of these. Therefore, the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies. It wasn't the children of Israel that were doing the battling. Who was it?
Achan.
No, he's the one that took the stuff. The Most High is the one that fights Israel's battles.
Oh, okay.
And the Most High, when Israel stole and took up the accursed thing, the Most High didn't go to battle with them. So they got, you know, they went up there with 3,000 people. They lost 36 men.
Huh.
Now, the truth of the matter is, nobody was supposed to die in Israel when they went to battle, because the Most High made a promise, made up in Israel, to take all of them into the promised land, and they would all survive. But because Achan took up the accursed thing, then we got, was it 32 or 36 men? Let's see.
36 men.
Yeah, 36 men. 36 men have died, okay? Because the Most High didn't go with them. And Joshua, you know, and the elders, they're mad. And they're thinking that the Most High would have forsaken them and has brought them over to the Jordan to die when none of them are supposed to die. And that's what Joshua's going on about. And the Most High comes down and sees Joshua on his face. He says, what are you doing on your face? There's a reason why y'all couldn't take Ai, because somebody has taken up the accursed thing. They have broken the covenant, and they have stolen. Okay. Now let's continue. So the Most High in verse 11 says, Israel has sinned, and they have also transgressed my covenant, which I commanded them, for they have even taken up the accursed thing, took something they weren't supposed to take, and also stolen. And disassembled also, and they have put it even among their own stuff. Therefore, the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies, but turned their backs before their enemies because they were accursed. Neither will I be with you anymore, except you destroy the accursed thing from among you. So the Most High says, now, only one person did this, but who did he blame?
All of Israel.
All of Israel. That's why I said, you know, whatever we get involved with, whatever we do, we can't have one person doing something among us that will bring a curse upon all of us. Everybody understand that?
Yes.
Okay. In the morning, therefore, you shall be brought according to your tribe, and it shall be that the tribe which Yah taketh shall come according to the families thereof. And the families which Yah shall take shall come by household. And the households which Yah shall take shall come by man. So the Most High is going to identify them by tribe, by household, and then by man. And it shall be that he that is taken with the accursed thing shall be burnt with what?
Fire.
Fire.
And he and all that he what?
Yes.
Now, you do something, and your wife, children, everybody suffer for it, okay? Because he has transgressed the covenant of Yah, and because he has wrought folly in Israel. So Joshua rose up early in the morning and brought Israel by their tribes, and the tribe of Judah was taken. So Most High said, that tribe. And he brought the family of Judah, and he took the family of the Zerites, and he brought the family of the Zerites, man by man, and Zebedee was taken. And he brought the household man by man, and Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zebedee, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, was taken. Now the Most High pointed who it was. Okay? And Joshua said unto Achan, my son, give, I pray thee, glory to Yah, Elohim of Israel, and make confession unto him. Is he really confessing? Does the Most High already know what he's done?
Yes, you know, the Father knows.
He knows. Who doesn't know?
Joshua.
Joshua doesn't know, okay? But the Most High said, it's this tribe, it's this family, it's this man, okay? So he says, make confession unto him and tell who?
Tell me now.
Tell me. Joshua's the one talking, right?
Right.
Said unto Achan, my son, give I pray thee glory to Yah, Elohim of Israel, and make confession unto Yah, and tell me now what thou hast done. Hide it not from me. Okay, so Joshua doesn't know, and that's what confession is all about, revealing something that is hidden, okay, that somebody doesn't know. You can't really confess to the Most High because you can't tell him something he don't know.
Right.
So he always puts a man in that place because some action needs to be taken, whether it's a correction or whatever, okay? So a lot of people try to confess to God and then don't tell nobody. And they can't, and they can't get help with their problem, or they can't get fixed. Okay. And Achan answered Joshua and said, "Indeed, I have sinned against Yah Elohim of Israel, and thus have I done. When I saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonian garment, underline that goodly Babylonian garment is the accursed thing." Not an idol. Everything in Jericho, the Most High said, was what? A curse. It was cursed. So if you took anything, you took of the what? A cursed thing. Okay. So this Babylonian garment was the accursed thing. And 200 shekels of silver and a wedge of gold, 50 shekels weight. Then I coveted them and took them, and behold, they are hid in the earth in the midst of my tent, and the silver under it. Now, didn't the Most High say somebody has taken the accursed thing and stolen?
Mm-hmm.
Now, what was supposed to happen to all the gold, the silver, and any iron, whatever that they found?
It's supposed to go into the treasury.
It's supposed to go into the treasury. He has stolen from Yah.
Huh.
Okay. It's supposed to go into the treasury of Yah. So he took the accursed thing and he stole from the Most High. As Most High said, let's go back and read that verse. Wait a minute, let me mark what verse we're in so I don't just... So we're in verse 21. We're going to go back up, make sure that we're following this. Okay, let's go back to verse 11. Joshua chapter 7, verse 11. Israel has sinned, and they have also transgressed my covenant, which I commanded them, for they have even taken of one the accursed thing, and they have also stolen and disassembled also and hid it among their things. Now let's go back down to verse 21. So the gold and the silver everything belonged to the Most High, the gold and the silver, and any brass or iron, any metal like that, is to go into the treasury of Yah. But he is taking it and hidden it in his stuff, stealing from the Most High. So Joshua sent messengers, and they ran unto the tent, and behold, we're in verse 22, and it was hid in his tent, and the silver under it. And they took them out of the midst of the tent, and brought them unto Joshua, and all the children of Israel laid them out before Yah. And Joshua and all Israel with him took Achan, the son of Zerah, the silver and the garment and the wedge of gold, and his sons and his daughters and his oxen and his asses and his sheep and his tent, all that he had, and they brought them unto the valley of Achor. And Joshua said, why hast thou troubled us? Yah shall trouble thee this day. And all Israel stoned him with stones and burned them with fire after they had stoned them with stones. So they stoned. stoned them, and then they what? Burned them. Burned them up. Burned up the gold too, everything that they took. Okay. Now, Achan had to confess. Did he get forgiveness?
No.
Didn't get forgiveness. He had transgressed. He had to pay the penalty. Yeah, and in the New Testament, we're told that if we confess our sins, he is true and just to forgive us. But if we confess willful sin, there's going to be, you can confess it, you will not receive mercy. And just like this man did not receive mercy, when we sin willfully and then bring that to the Most High, then, you know, we have to ask, you know, we ask for mercy, but there's no guarantee you're going to get mercy. Okay. So we see here in this confession, he confessed, I did, I sinned. I did thus and thus. I took the silver, I took this garment, I took the silver, and I took the gold, and I hid them in my tent. Now, why did the Most High kill his wife and his kids?
So they probably knew about it.
They did know about it. And none of them came forward.
Right.
So they got punished too. So you can't, you know, you can't be complicit even with a family member. If they've done something wrong, you can't be part of it. If you know that they've done something wrong, then you have to come forward, or else whatever punishment the Most High meters out, you're going to get it too, because you're just as guilty. And Joshua, why hast thou troubled us? Joshua troubled thee this day. All Israel stoned him with stones and burned him with fire. And after that, they had stoned him with stones, and they raised over him a great heap of stones unto this day. So Yah turned from the fierceness of his anger. Wherefore the name of that place was called the Valley of Achor unto this day. So Yah said, if you want me to be with you, you got to destroy the accursed thing from among you. And so this is what they have just done in the Valley of Achor. And the Most High returns to them. His anger is what? Turned away? And he's back with them now. We have to understand that he didn't change. And he still operates this way today. That's why I say we have to be very careful. Anything that we do as a family, that we don't do anything that brings a curse upon us. And it only takes that. And one person got 36 people killed.
Yeah.
Okay, and it could have been more than that. It just happened to be only 36. Okay, but you still have to confess your wrong to the Most High, and you got to be able to take your medicine. Okay, let's move on. So who did Yah accuse of sinning when Achan sinned? He accused Israel, the whole entire nation. Who initially suffered for Achan's sin. But the children of Israel, let's go to the 3 verses 1 through 5 to see who initially suffered. But the children of Israel committed a trespass in the accursed thing. For Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zebedee, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took up the accursed thing, and the anger of Yah was kindled against the children of Israel. And Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is beside Beth-Haven, on the east side of Bethel, and spake unto them, saying, go up and view the country. And the men went up and viewed Ai, and they returned to Joshua and said unto him, let not all the people go up, but let about 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and smite Ai, and make not all the people labor there, for they are but few. So they went up thither of the people about 3,000 men, and they fled before the men of Ai, and the men of Ai smote about 36 men. Okay. What was the real result of Achan's sin? And this is what we have to remember, and that's why I said that, you know, this is a point of matter. Children of Israel could not stand before their enemies. but turned their backs before their enemies because they were accursed. Now you take up the accursed thing, you become what?
Accursed.
You become accursed. Neither will I be with you anymore. So Yah was not with them. That's the main result. Except you destroy the accursed thing from you. Though confession of our sins guarantees forgiveness in 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, does it always mean freedom from the consequences of our actions?
No.
Okay, no it doesn't. Amen. So let's read Joshua chapter 7, verses 19 through 21. Son, give I pray thee glory to Yah, Elohim of Israel, and make confession unto him, and tell me now what thou hast done. Hide it not from me. And Achan answered Joshua and said, indeed I have sinned against Yah, Elohim of Israel. He confessed, and thus have I done when I saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonian garment, 200 shekels of silver, and a wedge of gold of 50 shekels weight. And I coveted them and hid in the earth in the midst of my tent, the silver under. Verse 24 and 25. So he's made his confession there. And Joshua and all Israel with him took Achan the son of Zerah and the silver and the garment and the wedge of gold and his sons and his daughters and his oxen and his asses, his sheep, his tent, and all he had. They brought them unto the valley of Achor. And Joshua said, why hast thou troubled us? Yah shall trouble thee this day. And all Israel stoned him with stones and burned them with fire. After Galatians chapter 6, the book of Galatians chapter 6. Because I think a lot of people, because they don't see judgment right away, they think that, you know, they've gotten away with something. Joshua chapter 6 and verse 7. And when you have it, if you'll say amen.
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 Be not deceived. Elohim is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. So the Most High is going to repay you for whatever you sow. That's what you're going to what?
Reap.
That's what you're going to reap. 2 Samuel chapter 12. If you confess your sins, do you still have to pay the price? You may not always be, you know, that forgiveness in John chapter 1, verse 9, 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, that's when you first come to Messiah. And that's when you commit ignorant sin. 2 Samuel chapter 12, verses 13 through 15, and when you have it, if you'll say amen.
Amen.
And David said unto Nathan, I have sinned against Yah. And Nathan said unto David, Yah also has put away thy sin. Yah has put away your sin. Thou shalt not what?
Die.
He's supposed to die, just like Achan died. Howbeit, because Yah has given great occasion to the enemies of Yah to blaspheme, the child also that is born unto thee shall surely die. You gave occasion to the enemies of Yah to blaspheme against him, to talk bad about him. The child won't live. David, I'm not going to kill you, but the child's got to die. And Nathan departed unto his house, and Yah struck the child that Uriah's wife, Bathsheba, bare unto David, and it was very sick. We know eventually the child died. As a consequence of, did the child do anything?
No.
It was because of David. 2 Samuel chapter 24. And David had he had to confess his sin to Yah, right?
Yeah.
Okay. 4. Verses 10 through 15. And when you have it, if you'll say amen.
Amen. Yeah.
All right. 2 Samuel chapter 10, verse 2 Samuel chapter 24, 4, verses 10 through 15. And David's heart smote him after that he had numbered the people. And David said unto Yah, I have sinned greatly in that I have done, and now I beseech thee. Now, I think we need to go back and get more of this story. Because if I remember correctly, you know who told David to number the people? The Most High did. All right, let's go back. Let's go to 2 Samuel 24. Let's start in verse 1. When you have it, if you say amen.
Amen.
Okay. And again, the anger of Yah was kindled against Israel. And he moved David against them to say, do what?
Go number Israel.
And Judah. Now, this is something that they were never supposed to do. The Most High told them never to number the people. For the king said to Joab, the captain of the host, which was with him, go now through all the tribes of Israel, from Dan even to Beersheba, and number ye the people, that I may know the number of the people. And Joab said unto the king, now Yah thy Elohim add unto the people, how many soever they be, 100-fold, and that the eyes of my master the king may see it. But why does my master the king delight in this thing? Why are you delighting in this thing? But who told him to do it?
Most High.
The Most High told him. Because he's angry at Israel for sin, okay? So you have been sinning. I am going to cause you, I want to judge you, okay? And he's really mad at David. And I want to judge you, so I'm going to make you do something that I will judge you. So why do you delight in this thing? Notwithstanding, the king's word prevailed against Joab and against the captains of the host. And Joab and the captains of the host went out from the presence of the king to number the people of Israel. And they passed over Jordan and pitched in Aroer on the right side of the city that lieth in the midst of the river of Gad and toward Jazer. Then they came to Gilead and to the land of Tathim, Hodshai, and they came to Dan Yan, and about Zidim, and it came to stronghold of Tyre, and to all the cities of the Hivites and of the Canaanites, and they went out to the south of Judah, even to Beersheba. So when they had gone through all the land, they came to Jerusalem at the end of 9 months and 20 days, and Joab gave up the sum of the number of the people unto the king, and there were in Israel 800,000 valiant men that drew the sword, and the men of Judah were 500,000 men, and David's heart smote him after he had numbered the people. And David said unto Yah, I have sinned greatly in that I have done. And now I beseech thee, O Yah, take away the iniquity of thy servant, for I have done very foolishly. For when David was up in the morning, the word of Yah came unto the prophet Gad, David, seer, saying, go and say unto David, thus saith Yah, I offer thee three things. Now, let's pay attention here. Now, David confessed that he sinned, but he was told to do this thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. He confessed that he... Now, Yah wants to judge the nation because of their wickedness and because of what David did. And he says, now, I'm going to offer you three things. Choose thee one of them, that I may do it unto you. So I'm going to give you three punishments. You choose which one you want. So Gad came to David and told him and said unto him, shall 7 years of famine come upon thee in thy land? That's the first one. You can choose 7 years of famine. Or will you flee 3 months before your enemy? So you want to run from your enemies for 3 months while they pursue you. Or that there be 3 days of pestilence in the land. Now advise and see what answer I shall return to him that sent me. So David, you want 7 years of famine in the land? Or do you want to run 3 months from your enemy? Or do you want 3 days of pestilence? Okay. And David said unto Gad, I am in great strait. I'm in great stress. Let us fall now into the hand of Yah, for his mercies are great. And let me not fall into the hand of man. So he said, it's better to fall into the hands of the Most High than to fall into the hands of who? Men. So Yah sent a pestilence from Israel, upon Israel, from the morning, evening, to the time appointed. So he sent a pestilence for that, starting that morning, for 3 days. And there died of the people, from Dan even to Beersheba, how many people?
70,000.
You think y'all was mad?
Yeah.
David might have thought that he was taking the lighter sentence.
Right.
But Yah said in 3 days, you know, in 3 days, I could actually destroy this whole country in one day and all these people in it. But he killed 70,000 men. And when the angel stretched out his hand upon Jerusalem to destroy it, Yah repented him of the evil and said to the angel that destroyed the people. So Yah sent an angel to destroy them?
Yeah.
And it is enough. Say now thine hand. And the angel of Yah was by the threshing place of Arunah the Jebusite. And David spake unto Yah when he saw the angel that smote the people, said, Lo, I have sinned, and I have done wickedly. But these sheep, what have they done? Let thine hand, I pray thee, be against me and against my father's house. And Gad came that day to David and said unto him, Go up, rear an altar unto Yah in the threshing floor of Arunah the Jebusite. And David, according to the saying of Gad, went up as Yah commanded. Okay. So David confessed. Now, he was told the number of people. And I just want us to understand that the Most High made David number the people. Why? Because he wanted to judge Israel because of what David had done. Okay? And how many men died?
70,000.
But this was Yah's doing. So let's go here. Because a lot of people have a misconception of the Elohim of the Bible. Or, the Most High is not somebody you trifle with. He says he will not be what, mocked?
Absolutely.
You might think you're getting away with something, but in the end, you're going to pay for it, and it may be horrendous. The book of Isaiah, chapter 45. And we're going to get verse 7. And Let's get verses 5 through 7. Isaiah 45, verses 5 through 7. I am Yah. And when you have it, say amen. Let me make sure everybody's there.
Amen.
All right. I am Yah, and there is none else. There is no Elohim beside me. I gird thee, though thou hast not known me, that they may know from the rising of the sun and from the west, that there is none beside me. I am Yah, and there is none else. I form the light, and I create darkness. I make peace, and I create what?
Evil.
I, Yah, do all these things, all in his hand. He's in control of everything. You don't want no evil to come upon you? You better be pleasing him. Because he'll send the evil. He'll cause the judgment to come upon you for transgressing him. You don't cross him and think you're going to get away with it. Okay? Let's go back to where we were at. Go to Matthew. We were finished in 2 Samuel. Or 1 Samuel, I think that's where we're at. 2 Samuel. Go to the book of Matthew. And let's go to chapter 26. Now, what the Most High don't want us to do is acting on our own behalf, of our own accord. So, Matthew chapter 26, this is where they have come to the Garden of Gethsemane, and they're going to come to take Messiah, okay? And in verse 52, then said Yeshua unto him, let's read verse 51. And behold, one of them which were with Yeshua stretched out his hand and drew his sword and struck a servant of the high priest and cut off his ear. So one of the disciples of Messiah cut off the servant of the high priest's ear. Then said Yeshua unto him, put up again thy sword into his place. For all they that take up the sword shall do what?
Perish with the sword.
Whatever you give out, if you give out violence, you're gonna receive what?
Violence.
Okay. Now, if the Most High is doing it, he's the one. Nobody told Peter to cut off the high priest's ear, the high priest's servant's ear. He took it upon himself to do it. Messiah said, put up your sword, because all that take up the sword shall perish by the sword.
Brother Miles.
Yes, ma'am.
It didn't say Peter is the one to cut it off. He just said a disciple.
Yeah, I think in another place it does say it was Peter.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I will have to find the verse, but it does identify it as Peter.
Okay.
Okay. Verse 53, thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to the Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels? But how then shall the scriptures be fulfilled, that thus it must be? Okay. So, Messiah told Peter, because it doesn't say Peter there, but I'll find the verse so you'll know that it's Peter. Don't you know that I could just pray and the Most High would give me, what, a legion of 12 legions of angels?
Hmm.
How many angels killed 70,000 men in David's time?
One.
So what you going to do with 12 legions? That's like 12,000 angels. If one can kill 70,000, 12,000 of them destroy everything all over this planet.
Yeah.
In no time. So just a second here.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, what'd you say?
That's a lot of angels.
Yeah. When you got one that can kill 70,000 in 3 days. I noticed this in John. John 18, see if it's there. The book of John, chapter 18. I don't think that's it. But it might be. Yeah. John chapter 18, verse 10. Then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it and smote the high priest's servant and cut off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. Okay, so it was this Peter. Peter's the hothead. Peter was packing, pulled out a knife, and cut off the high priest servant's ear. Okay.
So he said, then said, Peter put up that sword.
Yeah, put up that sword. Okay, here a little, there a little.
Amen. Thank you, bro.
You're welcome. I just want to make sure I didn't leave it, you know. So you'd be like, that scripture didn't say that. Go to Luke chapter 23. The book of Luke chapter 23. And we're still in, you know, confession. And do you always get away with, you know, not having to pay the penalty? Not have to face the consequences of your actions. Luke 23. Let us get verses 39 through 43. And when you have it, just say amen.
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 And one of the malefactors which was hanged railed on him, saying, if thou be the Christ. Now, this is when Messiah is crucified. And he's hung along the side of, what, two thieves?
Mm-hmm.
And one of the thieves, or one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, if thou be the Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answered and rebuked him, saying, dost not thou fear Elohim? Seeing thou art in the same condemnation, and we indeed justly, we are here, what, justly,
right.
Meaning that we deserve it.
Right.
For we receive the due reward of our what?
Deed.
But this man has done nothing amiss. So the two thieves, and one of them said, hey, we deserve this, but this man, Messiah, he has done nothing. And he said unto Yeshua, Master, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Yeshua said unto him, verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. So the two thieves were receiving the reward of their deeds. Messiah was unjustly what killed. To whom must we confess our sins? Go to Matthew chapter 6. Who must we confess our sins to? Matthew chapter 6, and let's get verse 12. And forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. Those are our debtors are people that we have sinned against. We have to confess. We have to go, what, if we have an odd against our brother, we're supposed to do what? If you have an odd against your brother or your sister, you're supposed to go to that brother or sister and do what?
Try to make it right.
And try to make it right. Confess to them that you have sinned against them. Let's go to Luke chapter 11, the book of Luke chapter 11. Now let's get verse 4. We also forgiven everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Again, it's talking about anybody that you have sinned against. 1 John, well, we are familiar with 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. Now, and let's go back up because I left out somebody in this. Let's go to, stay in Luke chapter 11. Let's go up to verse 2. And who are you praying to begin with? And he said unto them, when we pray, say who?
Our Father.
Right. So you have to confess to him, even though he knows, you still got to confess it to him. That you have sinned against someone. That you have sinned, period. Which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. As in heaven, so in earth. Give us this day our daily bread. 1 John chapter 1, 9. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9. Yeah, we know who this is. If we confess our sins, he is Messiah, is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So we have to confess to Messiah, but we are confessing that still who? God? Okay. John chapter 20. The book of John chapter 20. Not 1 John, but the book of John chapter 20.
Is now in the conference.
The book of John, chapter 20. And we're going to be getting verses 21 through 23. John, chapter 20, verses 21 through 23. Then said Yeshua to them again, peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, even so I send you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. You remit. Who is he talking to?
His disciples.
Okay. Whosoever sins, you remit. They are what?
Remit.
And whosoever sins, you retain. They are what?
Retain.
Now, again, I've told you guys that we have that same authority. If he said, receive you what? The Holy Ghost? The Holy Ghost. If you're filled with the Holy Ghost, then you have the power to remit sin. Forgive sin, and you have the power to have people retain their sin. That's powerful. A lot of us don't walk in this because we think only who can forgive sin? The Most High. But did Messiah just say, whosoever sin you remit, they are remitted? His disciples, and whosoever sins you retain, they are retained. When you receive the Holy Spirit, it's not you doing the work. Who is it?
Father.
It's the Father, but he's using you. He is your power and he is your authority. We don't walk in that power and authority. Okay. Whosoever sins you remit, they are remitted. Do you think for you to remit their sins, they had to confess to you?
Yes.
Because what are you praying for? And what are you forgiving? You might be trying to forgive something that's what? Unforgivable?
Unforgivable.
Okay, so they got to confess to you. And whosoever sins you retain, they are retained. Okay. Joshua chapter 7, verse 19 and 20. We know that. We already read that. We're not going to read it again. Achan had to confess to who? Joshua.
Mm-hmm.
And he had to confess to the Most High. And when you have it, say amen.
Amen.
Confess your faults to who?
Confess your fault one to another.
One to another. And pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. But we're supposed to be confessing our faults and our sins to each other. And then we're supposed to pray for one another that we may be what?
Forgiven.
It says healed. It's talking about when you sin against somebody, do you think you cause them some mental, psychological anguish?
Yes, I do.
Okay. And do you think that we might need to be healed from that hurt feelings and what have you?
Yeah.
So when we confess our sins one to another, it's a healing thing within itself, because if somebody does you wrong and they admit they did you wrong, you can for what? Give?
Yeah.
It's easier to forgive. But if they try to hide it from you, if they try to deny it, then what you going to do? You're going to stay angry. You're going to stay hurt. Okay, so we confess to another. Now, if you're doing something, and it's not against that person, some things you can't tell everybody. Because what will they do?
They put it against you.
They put your business in the street. They'll tell everybody. Yeah, that too. Now, if they're trying to blackmail you, that's a whole other thing, trying to use it against you. But most of the time, you can't tell everybody about your what, fault.
Right.
You need somebody that you can actually tell it to. Now, if you got a problem between you and that person, then you have to take it, between you and that person and confess that to them. But if you're doing and it's in the dark and it's not against one specific person, maybe you've been tipping and it's just eating you alive. You know, I've been sleeping around and I didn't want nobody to know, but I can't keep doing this. And I need to what, confess it?
Right.
Then you can't tell everybody that. Because you tell the wrong person, now everybody know what you've been doing. When it ain't everybody's business. Okay? But you still need to confess it. To Matthew chapter 5. Let's get verses 23 through 24. Let's start in verse 21. Matthew chapter 5, starting in verse 21. And when you have it, if you'll say amen.
Amen.
You have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of judgment. But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Rakah, shall be in danger of counsel. Let's look what this word Rakah means. Let me look that up in the Greek. You ain't worth nothing. You ain't, you are worthless, right? Or you say you ain't sugar honey iced tea.
That's a good way to put it.
Y'all can take the first letter from those.
I know.
He says, and if you say that to your brother, then you are what, in danger of counsel?
Yeah.
But whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hellfire. Okay, so you want to confess to your brother, but you also don't want to be what, angry and say something you ought not say?
Right.
Because you'll be held accountable for that.
Right.
Verse 23, therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar and there remember that thy brother has an ought against you, not you have an ought against them. They have an ought against you. You have said something to somebody you shouldn't have said. Out of what? Anger?
Yeah.
He says, you remember that you said something to somebody out of anger, then you need to go back and apologize. Leave there thy gift before the altar and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. So the Most High don't want you coming to him in prayer and going before him to bring a gift or to offer yourself, and you have offended somebody in your anger. Let's read that again. Verse 22. But I say unto you, whosoever is angry with his brother, what's the key word there?
Without a cause.
Without a cause. You angry with them for no reason. So you can be angry with somebody if it's what, justified?
Right.
You got a reason?
You get angry, but sin not.
Right. You can be angry, but sin not. But if you are angry without a cause and you say something, you just what, sinned?
Yeah.
Against your brother or your sister?
Yeah.
And then you want to go and pray to the Most High and have him to answer your prayers. Because you better go first and reconcile with your brother or your sister. Then come and what?
Bring
your gift to me. Go to Luke chapter 15. The book of Luke chapter 15. And let's get verse 21. Now, we're talking about probably should be the prodigal son. Start back at verse 11. When you have it, say amen.
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 Okay, Luke 15, starting in verse 11. And he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of the good that falleth to me. Give me my inheritance. And he divided unto him his living. And not many days after, the young son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. So his father gave him his inheritance, and he went and partied it away. You know, probably drinking and chasing women and doing all this kind of stuff. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into the fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. So he would have eaten the food that the hogs was eating.
Yeah.
But no man didn't give him none of the food. They fed the hogs but didn't feed him, and he was starving. And he's feeding the hogs, but I guess he don't want to eat this food in front of what, people?
Right.
But he's still starving, and he's wondering, you know what? My father has servants, and they have enough to eat. So it's better to be a what? Servant in his father's house?
Yeah.
I will arise and go to my father and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. Now he's confessing. And am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. And when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and thy son. But the father said to his servant, bring forth the best robe and put it on him and put in a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet and bring hither the fatted calf. Now the fatted calf that you kept and you fattened it up for when you had a feast for like company. So it's a special occasion. So he's going to kill the fatted calf and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and he is found. And they began to be merry. Now his elder son was in the field, and as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard the music and the dance. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, thy brother is come, and thy father has killed the fatted calf, because he has received him safe and sound. And he was angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he answered, said to his father, lo, no, so his father came out, son, come on in, your brother's home. And he answered and said unto his father, lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgress I at any time thy commandment. This is an allegory, Father in heaven and us. And yet thou never gave me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as thy son was come, which has devoured thy living with harlots, so he was out, you know, with the prostitutes, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is yours. It was meant that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again, was lost and is found. So the prodigal son, he asked for his inheritance. Father gave it to him. He went and spent it on harlots, became broke. There became a famine in the land, and he was broke. There was no food. He couldn't afford the food. Takes a job, feeding pigs?
Mm-hmm.
Then decides, hey, I'm better off back at home. He comes home, and his father greets him. And says, you know, welcome home, son, and puts the best robe on him, puts the family ring back on him, and throws a party. So that's where the Most High wants us to come to him. He wants us to confess our sin. Do you think that the prodigal son would have, that he would have behaved from that time forward? Think he learned his lesson?
Yeah, I think so.
And he learned his lesson. He said, I'm not even worthy to what? Be your son, your child?
Right.
Let me come home and just be a servant. At least I could eat.
Yes, right.
Okay. Now the one who's been faithful, he's angry. Because what did he say? I have been here always, and I have not broken one of your commandments. Saint, who gets mad at when the Most High forgives somebody who is been blatantly a sinner, and they see them blessed and wonder why they're being blessed, and they haven't been blessed, and they've been faithful. Ever met anybody like that?
Yeah.
Okay. We ever fall into that position? Get mad because the Most High is blessing somebody that we know was, they were out there. They repent and they come.
Because I'm not vain like that.
But amen. There are some people like that, though. So we got to make sure that if the Most High rejoices over bringing somebody back, we don't get angry about it because we think we deserve something more. And the Most High says, you know, all that I have is yours. You could have actually killed the fatted pig or the fatted pig. You could have killed the fatted calf anytime you wanted. Okay, now you wanted me to do it for you. But it's all yours, and it's going to all be yours. Well, we're not to be angry because Most High blessed somebody else, and he forgives somebody. Now, what if that person that transgressed against you? And your father forgave them. Did you forgive them?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yes, I could.
Okay. So that's the moral in this lesson. We, you know, we as sinners, no matter what we do, as long as we don't commit the one unpardonable sin, when we realize the error of our ways, we can come back and repent, and the Father will forgive us that one time. Okay, and that's the moral of this story. Okay. Let's go to look at the pastoral involvement in confession. Who are the bishops or overseers of the communities of Yah? Who are the overseers of his community? Let's go to Acts chapter 20. The book of Acts chapter 20. So let's get verse 17. And we're going to be reading verses 17 through 28. Okay? Acts chapter 20, 28. And from Miletus, or when you have it, if you say amen.
Amen.
And from Miletus, he sent to Ephesus and called for who?
The elders.
Of the church. And when they were come to him, he said unto them, you know from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you all at all seasons, serving Yah with all humility of mind and with many tears and temptations which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews. And so, you know, Paul is giving his what confession here. He's telling them his story. And about how his brethren have what? His own brethren lying in wait with him. Paul was a Pharisee that what betrayed the Pharisees started following Messiah. And the Pharisees were trying to kill him every chance they got. And how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks or to the Gentiles, repentance toward Elohim and faith toward our master, Yeshua HaMashiach. And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witness in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. So Paul's already told what was going to happen to him. By the Holy Spirit, you're going to go bound, you're going to be beaten, you're going to be afflicted in every city you go in because of what you did to my people. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and with the ministry which I have received of Yeshua HaMashiach to testify the gospel of the grace of Elohim. And now, behold, I know that you all, among whom I have gone, preaching the kingdom of Elohim, shall see my face no more. Wherefore, I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of Elohim. Take ye therefore unto yourselves, and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost have made you overseers. Now, who is he talking to?
The people that he's been teaching.
Yeah, it says the elders, right?
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Take heed. So let's go get this. Make sure.
Yep, take elders.
Okay. So he's talking to the elders of the church. They're the overseers. Now, remember, I told you that, and have taught on previous occasions, the Most High said he took the Levites as priests,
mm-hmm.
and at the same time that he gave the Levites the laws, he gave the laws to the elders in Israel. the elders in Israel enforced the law, and they taught the law to the people. The elders in the church are now what, the overseers? Okay, and they're supposed to be in, they're supposed to teach the laws and the scriptures, and they're supposed to enforce civil law in the church. But most of our people won't bring themselves under subjection to the elders. They just think, oh, you're just a man, right?
Right.
You're just a man just like me. No, if the Most High has that man put in that position, then you're supposed to bring yourself into subjection. Okay, let's go back to where I was at. Take ye therefore unto your 28, and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers, and which the Holy Ghost is the Most High, has made you overseers to feed the church of Elohim, which he has purchased with his what?
Own blood.
With his own blood. Now you got to ask yourself, when did the Most High have blood? Just food for thought.
When he was the Messiah.
When he was the Messiah. When he walked on the earth as Yeshua HaMashiach or Jesus the Christ. He had blood. Okay. So the elders are made the overseers of the church, of the community. Go to Hebrews chapter 13. Book of Hebrews, chapter 13. And we're going to get verse 17. And we're probably going to get a little bit above that. When you have it, say amen.
Amen.
Obey them that have the rule over thee. Now, who did he just say was the overseers of the church?
The elders.
Obey them. Is that a suggestion?
No, it's not.
Okay. It's not a suggestion. And when we find that brothers and sisters won't submit themselves to the elders, then they are in defiance of the Most High. Because who put the elders over the church? The Most High. So then you are in direct defiance of who? The Most High. Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves. For they watch for what?
Your soul.
And must.
And they must give account.
Got a report. On the day of judgment, you're not at the throne by yourself like brothers be telling people. Most High is going to call his elders up there and say, hey, the flock that I put you under, they're all right here. Report. Read their accounts out of the book. Read their work. How did they submit themselves to you? Or did they act presumptuous? You ain't nobody. You a man or a woman just like I am. Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, and that they must give an account, and that they may do it with what?
Joy.
And not grief. Amen. For that is, if they do it with grief, that is not, for that is what? Unprofitable for you.
Mm-hmm.
If your elder have to give a negative report on you because you wouldn't submit yourself, it's not going to go well with you. The Most High might say, okay, 500 stripes. You're not out of the kingdom, but come get this whip. How many of us believe that people are going to be whipped in the kingdom? Apparently none of us. Go get that. Just a second. I like when y'all silent like that. Hey, what the heck are you talking about, Brother Miles? Go to Luke chapter 12. The book of Luke chapter 12. So I don't want y'all to say Brother Miles said it.
I know.
And I know y'all believe me, but seeing is believing too, right?
Absolutely.
Luke chapter 12. The son in verse 45. Actually, we're going to start in verse 42. Luke chapter 12, verse 42. Start in verse 42. When you have it, say amen.
Amen.
And Yah said, who then, or Yeshua said, and who then is that faithful and wise steward whom his master shall make ruler over his household to give them their portion of meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his master, when he cometh, find doing so. So doing. He's talking about doing. Watching is what he was talking about, watching for his return. Of a truth, I say unto you, that I will make him ruler over all that he has. That he will make him ruler over all that he has. But if that servant say in his heart, my master delays coming, and shall begin to beat the men servant and the maid servant, and to eat and drink, and to be drunken, the master of that servant will come in that day, and when he looks not on him, and at an hour when he is not aware, and will cut him in what?
Asunder.
That means cut him in two. And will appoint him his portion with the unbelievers. And that servant which knew his master's will, and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be what?
Beaten with me.
Right.
No, y'all don't think y'all can get beat. You don't get to do to the Most High whatever you want to do. You want to give him your all the time? Because if you halfway serve him, then you might get beat for your laziness. If you knew what was required and you didn't prepare, see what he said. And that servant which knew his master's will, And did what? Verse 47.
And prepared himself, did according to his will.
Right.
He'll be beaten with many stripes.
So this servant knew what was required and didn't prepare to do it.
Right.
And neither did according to his will, to his master's will. So if you know what the Most High requires, and you don't prepare yourself, and because you didn't prepare yourself, you don't do what his will, you're going to get beaten with a few stripes.
No, with many.
With many stripes. How many is many?
Not a lot.
Yeah, you see, what we don't realize is you can't die. Because a lot of people don't realize this is in the kingdom. This is at the great white throne judgment. Can't die. So literally, you can get beat for a long time. You can't die, but you can feel it. Just beat him till I'm tired. Not till you tired. Beat him till I'm tired. Okay, so if we don't do, let's read verse 48. But he that knew not, if you don't know, you're what, ignorant?
Right.
And did commit things worthy of stripes, shall be beaten with how many stripes?
Two stripes.
For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall be much required. You know what to do. It was given. You were given the understanding. and you knew what to do, and you didn't do it, you're going to get beat with many stripes. But if you were ignorant, you didn't know what to do.
You're still getting beat.
You're still getting beat, but with a what?
Right.
With just fewer stripes. Okay. For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall much be required, and to whom men have committed much, and to whom men have committed much, of him they will ask the more. I am come to send fire on the earth, and what will I, if it be already kindled? But I have baptized, a baptism, which, and how straightened, never mind. I'm not even reading that right. But I have a baptism to be baptized with. How am I straightened till it be accomplished? Suppose you that I am come to give peace on the earth, I tell you, no, but rather division. So Messiah, did Messiah come to bring peace?
No, he did.
Okay, let me find one more thing. Let's drop down, let's go back up to verse 27. No, let's go to Luke chapter 19, I'm sorry. Luke
19.
19, yeah, Luke chapter 19. And let's start in 11. And when you have it, just say amen.
Amen.
And as they heard these things, he added and spake a parable, because he was nigh or near to Jerusalem, and because they thought that the kingdom of Elohim should immediately appear. So his disciples are thinking that the kingdom is coming right now, as far as him reigning on the earth. And he said, therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and what? Y'all know I asked y'all.
A kingdom and to return.
So this man went off, this nobleman went off to a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and then what? Come back. And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy till I come. Stay here until I come. And occupy means to, you know, be there and be taken care of the place. But his citizens hated him. But the saints hated him. And sent a message after him saying, we will not have this man to what?
To reign over us.
And it came to pass that when he was returned, having received the kingdom, then he commanded these servants to be called unto him, to whom he had given the money, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. Then came the first saying, Master, thy pound has gained 10 pounds. And he said unto him, well, thou good and faithful servant, or thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in a very little, have thou authority over 10 cities. And the second came, because now he's giving out what? Cities for them to rule over in his kingdom. And the second came saying, Master, thy pound has gained 5 pounds. And he said likewise to him, be thou also over 5 cities. And another came saying, Master, behold, here is thy pound, which I have kept laid up in a napkin. For I feared thee, because thou art an austere man, a rough man. I feared you. Thou takest up that thou layest not down, and thou reachest that thou didst not sow. And he said unto him, out of thine own mouth will I judge thee, thou wicked servant. Thou knewest that I was an austere or a rough man, taking up that I laid not down, and I reaping that I did not sow. Wherefore, then gavest thou not my money into the bank, that at my coming I might have required my own with usury. So why didn't you put my money in the bank that I can get interest on it? And he said unto him that stood by, take from him the pound and give it to him that hath 10. And they said unto him, Master, he hath 10 pounds. You that unto every one which hath shall be given, and from him that hath not, even that he has shall be taken away from him. So we can't come into this kingdom and sit on our hands. The Most High blesses each and every one of us with some measure. And we don't all get the same measure, but whatever you were given, you better do something with it. Don't lay it up in what, a napkin? Don't bury it. Okay, so the Most High doesn't give you gifts for you to do nothing with them. Okay? Those my enemies, which would not that I should reign over them, do what with them?
Bring them hither and slay them before me.
No, Messiah ain't going to have nobody killed.
Yeah. Tell me what he said.
He said, those that don't want me to reign over them, bring them here in what? In front of me?
Say them before me.
So we have to be of a mind that we're going to do what he says to do.
Amen.
And we have to, he has to reign in our life. So everybody that says that they don't believe in him, they won't follow him, they don't obey him,
mm-hmm.
bring him here.
Mm.
I'm going to sit right here and watch you cut him in two.
Mm.
But most people don't know that Messiah said anything like that. All right, let's go back to into the lesson. See where I'm at. We're at 752. Let's see how far we got to go. Do one more for tonight. We're not finished yet. Let's see how far much I got left in this class. Don't have a whole lot left, but we got enough for next week. So we just talked about who are the bishops or the overseers of the community of Yah. Let's look at who his shepherds are. Go to John chapter 21. Let's get verses 15 through 17. John chapter 21. Verses 15 through 17. And when you have it, if you'll say amen.
Amen.
So when they had dined, Yeshua said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than thee? He saith unto him, Yea, Master, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep. Can I not be heard? Or somebody on the phone? Feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, still in the room. I think Sister Denise dropped off. Okay. He said unto him, again a second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He said unto him, Yea, Lord, or Yea, Master, thou knowest that I love thee. He said unto him, Feed my sheep. He said unto him a third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved, because he said unto him a third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Master, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Yeshua said unto him, Feed my sheep. Who are the shepherds? They are the pastors and the elders. Peter chapter 5. We have verses 1 and 2. And when you have it, if you'll say amen.
Amen.
1 Peter chapter 5. Verses 1 and 2. The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Messiah or Mashiach, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed, feed the flock of Elohim which is among you, taking the oversight thereof. So be the overseer, take the oversight and be the overseer, not by constraint, not because you've been made to, but how?
Willingly.
If you get this duty, then you need to perform it willingly and not for money, not for money's sake, but of a ready mind. So the elders are the overseers. The elders are the shepherds. And the elders are going to give what? A report? Concerning what your walk is, has been. Okay, we got 5 minutes. What are the responsibilities of the overseers, also known as the pastors and the elders, the bishops and the deacons? Go to John chapter 21. And let's get verse 16, John 21 and 16. Amen. Thank you. And he saith unto him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, Yea, master, or yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my sheep. So one of the responsibilities of the elders and the overseers is to do what? Feed the sheep. Okay. And then in 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 1 and 2, we just read, they're to do it, take the oversight thereof, not by what constraint, but willingly. And not for filthy lucre. Okay. So those are the responsibilities. Feed the sheep and not for what? Filthy lucre. Why should we be obedient and look to the shepherds of the church for spiritual advice and assistance? To include confession. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 13. And let's get verse 17. And when you have it, if you'll say amen.
Amen.
All right, thank you. And we've already looked at this one. Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your soul, and that they must give an account, that they might do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. Okay, so that's why you want to obey. All right, so next week, because we're at 7:58. We'll do the final comment and the final question on and guidance on confession, what it actually does, and then we will actually get into forgiveness. And we'll do all the scriptures concerning forgiveness in the scripture. Amen?
Amen.
All right. Let us bow our heads. Father Yah, we come before you even right now, Father, in the spirit of humility, bearing our souls to you, Father. If we are doing anything that is worthy of punishment, Father, and that we need help straightening out, Father, give a person a willing mind that they would confess their sins. If we have offended one of our brothers or our sisters, let us be submitted in ourselves, that we would go to our brother or our sister and that we would confess that we have sin against them and ask for their forgiveness. If we know that we have an ought against a brother or a sister, then give us the mind and the heart of humility that we will go to our brother or our sister and tell them that we have an ought with them, that we might reconcile and that we might be able to approach you in spirit and in truth. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name, amen and amen. All right, so today is Tuesday. We will have the business meeting on today. And so I pray to see who are going to be participating in that there. We go to the farmer's market. There's a Wednesday's farmer market tomorrow. So I will not be up too late tonight. Need to get up and do a harvest. Had a very good, I think I told you guys, had a very good market on Sunday. The best market that I've had so far. And even had a couple of restaurants to approach. Still waiting on the email from them as to what they want to do. But it was a very good day, and I am encouraged to grow even more, because I think I took maybe 15 or 20 containers with me this last time and sold all but two. So, and I think that had they been a different microgreen, because what I had left were radish microgreens that have a tendency to be hot. And a lot of people, you know, don't want spicy. So if I had a wellness mix or, you know, something else, a wellness mix or a some type of other microgreen, like a salad mix or something like that, then we probably would have sold out. So I am encouraged. Also, I think I told you guys I was partnering up with a guy that sells
vinaigrette.
The vinaigrette. Mm-hmm. I actually put some microgreens in dehydrator today. I wanted to, you know, to see. Man, I'm kind of liking them dehydrated more than I'm liking them fresh. They are, you know, and I love them fresh, but this is just a different taste, a different texture. So I'm going to probably split the I have some, what do you call them, sprouts, like fennel Greek. Fennel Greek tastes completely different, dry, than it did, you know, fresh. And I like the way it tastes dried, but I have a batch of those, the fennel Greek and the radish and broccoli. And what I'm going to do is, I think I'm going to take, I need to take some to the guy because he gives out samples, and will send people to me. He puts them in his, you know, use it as a sample for his olive oil or his vinaigrette. Uh-huh. And send people to me, and then I bought the little cup so that I can put the microgreens in the little cup and put his vinaigrette on it and send them to him in that case. So we're promoting each other. I won't be able to do it. I think I'll be able to have those. I got everything but the spoons to hand out the samples. So I might go and talk to him and see if he has some extra that he can just sell me until the next. Until the next mid-grief. Farmer's Market. I think I bought 4,000 spoons, little tiny spoons, for like $37, something like that. So maybe I'll just see if I, because they won't be in by tomorrow. So if he's there, then I'll see if I can buy, you know, a few from him, or just give me a few so I can hand out samples. Don't have as big a harvest for tomorrow because I'm in between the crops, and I have enough, you know, that I can harvest and have some to sell and give out, you know, some samples. But I want to start, because of how Sunday went, and it seems like the word is getting out there, and people are used to seeing me now, that I'm going to try to I was just doing 4 trays. I'm going to up that to 6 or 8 and see if we can sell out of that. And see if we can get it to maybe 500, between $500 and $700 take home for a farmer's market. And that will be you know, that'll be a good profit if I could do that. Most markets, I was we were just getting past $100,
right?
And then we went past 200, and we almost got to 400 this last Sunday. So it's becoming very profitable, and so I pray that, you know, and the way that we're doing it, anything that we don't sell, I think I just, by accident, just kicked everybody out of the room. Off the 480 number. No, off the 480 number. I was down to check to see how, you know, who was calling in the 480 number.
Mm-hmm.
And accidentally kicked them out. So I have to send them an email or a text to say I apologize, because it was by accident. I had the wrong command up there. So my bad to y'all. I think it was 3 or 4 people in there. See if I can find that list. Okay. All right. I see who it was. Okay, so I will apologize to them. Okay, that being said, may the Most High bless you. May keep you safe from all hurt and harm. We will meet on Thursday for the business meeting. And until then, remember I love you. I really do. I cannot love you like the Most High loves you. Shalom, saints. Fear Yah and keep His commandments.
Shalom.
Shalom.
Forever.
Brother Miles. Shalom, Sister Denise.
Shalom, Sister Mary. Shalom, Brother Miles.
Shalom, my sisters, and everybody else on the line. Peace and blessings to you all.
Thanks.
Have a blessed evening. Good night, Miss Hazel. Have a blessed evening. All right.